Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Alan Smith. So stay tuned, because today we're going to get into some great discussions about alternative therapies, something that is just really sweeping the nation very quickly. Alan Smith discovered better health with the world of complementary and alternative medicine after a disappointing trip to the Mayo Clinic for digestive problems several years ago. The second edition of his book, How to Unbreak Your Health, features a map to help others find their own path to better health. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Irene. How are you doing?
Good. Great to talk to you. Before we go any further into this interview, I'd really like you to explain to our listening audience, and just in the event that we have some new people that are just getting interested in this, what is complementary medicine? What is alternative medicine?
That's a very interesting place to start. They actually can be used for the same therapy. It depends who's making the call, whether it's the patient or the doctor. And it's interesting because depending on what your condition is and what your goals are, a particular therapy might be used to complement mainstream medicine. It could also be used to replace or be an alternative to mainstream medicine. And a lot of people have a hard time saying, well, how can the same treatment or same therapy be used either way? And I said, it depends on your unique situation. And I said, that's part of the key to this, taking responsibility for your own health. You are a unique individual, and your needs are different than anybody else in the world. So we have to find just those right therapies, whether we use them as a complement to mainstream medicine or to replace it.
And so actually what you're saying is the same therapy can be used for either one.
Yes, ma'am.
And basically, in many cases, it is complementary to mainstream, and in many cases, people like myself use it as totally as an alternative therapy.
And now we've got a new term that's been thrown into the mix called integrative medicine.
Yes.
And that's for the doctors who are beginning to realize that maybe mainstream medicine doesn't have all of the answers after all, but the drugs and surgery focus that it has. So they're beginning to actually utilize many of these complementary alternative therapies in their practice. And they call it integrating the best of East and West. So it's not like you have to work outside of your normal mainstream medicine doctor, in many cases going around his back. They're actually taking advantage of it and wanting to learn more about, well, what's working for you? Maybe I can use this on another patient. So it's an evolving world.
It is, and I'm so glad to hear that. Not so long ago, I was talking to a medical doctor, and I was shocked to find out that actually alternative or complementary is what we would call it, is actually an option. This is something that they do not teach in medical school, but many of the students that are going to, you know, medical school have to take this as an option, or if it is covered, there's maybe only like 4 hours. I was really surprised that that option is not really readily available.
And in fact, you don't have to have a single minute of any training about complementary alternative medicine to get a medical license.
Exactly, which seems kind of a shame. So I'm really glad to hear that integrative medicine is taking off.
There was one bit of good news. I don't know if you heard it. The University of California, San Diego did a study of medical schools all over the country on this very topic. And they discovered, much to my shock, that 74% of the medical students thought that a doctor trained in both complementary and alternative medicine and Western medicine would be better able to take care of his patients than a doctor only trained in Western medicine.
And I'm glad to hear that. That's really great. Alan, with the healthcare reform being such a big buzz all the time here, and it has been for quite some time, what do you think that the impact is going to be on complementary or alternative medicine?
I think in the long run, it's going to open a lot of doors for us, because the one thing the healthcare reform debate has brought out is the fact that we really need to do something with our healthcare system. It's just not working, and it's costing us more than any other nation on earth, and yet we rank way down the list in almost every category. So people are beginning to at least say, okay, this obviously isn't the best system. What else can we do to improve it? And even President Obama, when he was on the campaign trail a couple of years ago, was saying that, yes, we have to at least consider these complementary alternative therapies because we need to use whatever works. And one of the things that even he pointed out is a lot of these therapies focus on prevention and on healthy living and preventing problems. And that saves so much money to society as a whole because, well, it's kind of like not taking your car in for regular service, that you wait till the engine breaks And then you go in and get it repaired. And we all know that that's a really expensive way to live. If you go in and get routine maintenance and take care of some small things along the way, you prevent a lot of big problems.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I'm really looking forward to that change because also many times the insurance companies do not favor alternative medicine at all and will not cover it. And for instance, we've got, you know, when we moved here 20 years ago to Austin, there was only one alternative. I'm going to just call it alternative medical doctor. And now, to my knowledge, there are at least six of them. But unfortunately, none of them do take medical insurance because they're just not covered.
And yet, Irene, a third of Americans are already using some kind of complementary alternative medicine, and it's all out of their own pocket. So yeah. That clearly says that there's something there, or they wouldn't be spending that kind of money. And the really good news, again, in the long run, it's not going to be quick, but Senator Tom Harkin has taken over the chairmanship of the Senate Health Committee from the late Senator Ted Kennedy. And Senator Harkin was actually one of the driving forces for the creation of the National Institutes of Health, NIH, of the NCCAM, the National Center for Complementary Alternative Medicine. So he is a huge proponent of this whole world of CAM therapies because he knows from personal experience that it does work. In fact, I want to say it was about 2 years ago when we were really getting into the healthcare debate, he had a hearing at the Senate, and he brought in Dr. Dean Ornish, Dr. Deepak Chopra, Dr. Andrew Weil, a couple of others. So it was a real blue ribbon day for some of the leaders in complementary alternative medicine. And they're all saying, hey, we are trained medical doctors, but we also have learned to appreciate all of these alternative therapies that are out there, and they have a lot to offer this country. So, like I said, there, at least the eyes and ears are beginning to open a little bit on this debate.
I didn't realize that there was at least a third. That's good news. That's really good news. It just gives me goosebumps to think that that many are really turning to alternative medicine. And listeners, Alan just used the word CAM, C-A-M, and that really is the short form of complementary and alternative medicine, so we'll go ahead and use that. For some of the listeners, Alan, that possibly don't know what some of the modalities are, let's just kind of cover a few of them, and let's use acupuncture for one. You can just sort of explain to our listening audience what acupuncture is and how it is used.
Acupuncture is one of the key features of what's called traditional Chinese medicine, and this is a medical system that goes back about 2,000 years and obviously predates Western medicine by just a little bit. And it's based on an entirely different concept of the human body. It's based on the belief that it actually runs on living energy called qi. And this qi has to be in balance as it flows through the body, because if it becomes blocked or out of balance in some way, then disease and illness is the result of that. So acupuncture needles inserted at certain points along meridians and different points in the body help redirect this flow of energy to rebalance it the way it should be so that the body can heal itself. And it's interesting to note that there's another very ancient medical system called Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. It actually goes back 5,000 years. Some people think that traditional Chinese medicine might be an offshoot of Ayurveda at some point. And again, it's all based on balance and how we live and helping the body heal itself, prevent illness and disease by proper nutrition, proper exercise, proper lifestyle for your unique body. It's not a cookie-cutter process. And in fact, in traditional Chinese medicine, one of the facets that people don't often really recognize is that in addition to acupuncture, they use a type of organic, I guess medicine would be the best way to phrase it. They use herbs and organic compounds to create usually teas that patients take. And in a hospital of 1,000 patients, the doctors are so focused on the individual that rather than just prescribing a general pill, they prescribe a tea that is custom made at the hospital for each patient every day, and it can include literally hundreds of different ingredients. So it's a much more labor-intensive form of medicine, but it's tuned to that individual person's body and what they need at that particular point in time.
And the thing is, it's natural. It's not putting a bunch of chemicals into the body, which then the body has to work so much harder to get rid of those chemicals.
It's just one more stress factor on an already diseased body.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I think that most people know of the alternative as being chiropractic, massage, possibly some other, you know, maybe Rolfing if they're into it. But let's talk about some of the ones that actually maybe a lot of people don't know about. How about Traeger?
You say Irene's being tricky on me because my book has 339 different therapies, so these pop quizzes on a particular therapy can be challenging. Milton Traeger developed a particular type of structural integration therapy, in the general category of massage, of physical manipulation. But it, again, is tuned to the individual. They wanted to, yes, there's some general types of therapies that we all seem to have the same kind of problems in our lives at certain points, but we also have individual issues, whether it's resulting from accidents or illnesses or other traumas, and they really need to customize the approach on that. Milton Traeger was one of the first to really integrate the psychological with the physical, what he called he actually called it the Traeger psychophysical integration at one point, before they shortened it just to the Traeger approach. And it was a way to manipulate the body and the memories in the body so that the mind and body would work together and heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there's actually a part of the Traeger approach which is called mentastics, which was his word for mental and gymnastics, which was a way to get the simple movements that people would be taught to release some of their own stress, because stress, as most people are beginning to realize, is just a huge factor in a lot of diseases and illnesses. That it's kind of like an inflammation in the body that, if untreated, eventually reaches a critical point. And Traeger was one of the early ones to say, we need to deal with this on a regular basis to keep the body healthy, to prevent it from getting ill.
There are, as you say, what did you say, 350 in your book? There are so many CAM modalities that, you know, and each one is individually designed, really. I can't think of anyone that isn't. And not only that, when I know that practitioners actually teach, many of the practitioners actually teach the client how to do a lot of these things on their own, because basically it's taking responsibility for your own body, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and that's one of the keys, and it's kind of funny, again, beginning this, what they call integrative medicine, because Dr. Oz, he spun off his show from Oprah,
mm-hmm.
his mantra was, you've got to take care of yourself,
mm-hmm.
Nobody else is going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the different therapies, it also was fascinating as I was doing the research on the book on how many therapies are built on top of each other,
yeah.
and are variations of a theme. I spoke with Joseph Heller, who is the creator of Heller Work, which is another physical mm-hmm. structural integration therapy. And he was actually the first president of the Rolf Institute, Ida Rolf's mm-hmm. process of physical manipulation. And he said, you know, this is a great therapy and does such great things for people. But he began to realize as he was giving Rolfing treatments to people, when he was working on a particular part of the body, because Rolfing works on what they call the basic 10 series. They do 10 different appointments working on different parts of the body. And he noticed that people kept talking about the same issues in their life as he would work on the chest or feet or whatever. And he began to realize maybe this isn't just coincidence. Maybe there's something going on here. So he began to integrate questions and kind of a talking dialogue for each session to correlate the mind and the body. And began to get people to open up and relieve stress and get rid of some old issues. And so he eventually reached a point where he really wasn't Rolfing anymore, and he had to spin it off and develop his own Heller Work.
I just find all this fascinating. I've been using CAM for many, many years, and still it amazes me how these things really work. They really do work. One of the things that has been popular for a number of years and even getting most thorough and accepted, it's feng shui. You know, a lot of times we think of feng shui as being just creating the room, you know, the placement of stuff in the room. But there's so much more into that. It really does affect the individual person.
Oh, no question. And we've all, I think, had the experience at some time in our life of walking into a room and just feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know what or why. I mean, there weren't any barking dogs or anything glaringly obvious, but it just didn't feel right. And on the flip side, we've walked into rooms where we just felt so comfortable and so at ease, and yet that's, as you say, feng shui at work.
Exactly, exactly. Lately, we've noticed that the military is actually beginning to embrace CAM for about wounded warriors, and you know, that's really an interesting concept too, that it's actually going further, and maybe you can just talk a little bit about that as to what really is happening.
As they say, war advances medicine in giant leaps, and unfortunately it's also working for the world of complementary alternative medicine. We're getting more acceptance faster in a lot of ways, simply because these guys are coming back from war zones with some real problems,
mm-hmm.
and the VA's normal treatments aren't working, so they're finding, you know, their own therapies, and it's working. The one that Dr. Relox developed, it's actually called the Relox procedure, and it's a kind of a hyper-stated hyperbaric treatment. He combines vitamins and therapies and intravenous solutions along with the hyperbaric oxygen treatment, delivering pure oxygen at higher pressures. And they've discovered that especially for head injuries, where there's been head trauma from explosions and things of that nature, that a lot of the inactive cells in the brain are not, in fact, dead. They're just inactive. They haven't received the oxygen and the nutrients that they need to heal themselves and to reactivate. And he's been showing some tremendous results on that. And, in fact, the whole field of what they call HBOT, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, what most people know is the treatment for skin divers who come up too fast and get the bends, they're finding that as having a wide range of neurological advantages and also physical advantages. Soldiers that are exposed to chemicals out in the field, this heightened deliverance of pure oxygen at pressure helps the bloodstream and the body deal with these toxins better and faster. And, in fact, I was just talking with the president of the International Hyperbaric Association recently, and she was saying that they're starting to ship some of these portable HBOT chambers, the kind that the sports athletes are now using at home to help them heal from injuries. There are some groups shipping them over to the war zones so that when a soldier is exposed to toxins or has a head injury or other issue, they can start getting HBOT therapy right there at the front lines. So rather than letting the body suffer and you know, face all these challenges, they're treating it right there on the front line as soon as possible, and they're getting some very good results, helping them really not show the effects that many others are having.
Wow.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We're speaking today with Alan Smith. As you have heard so far, Alan is very versed on the topic of complementary and alternative therapies. It's extremely important for us to be open to other modalities and take responsibility for our own health. The FDA has been very involved in some of these alternative methods, and I can't remember, but not very long ago, there was this buzz that they were going to take something like orange juice off the shelves because, you know, it was high doses of vitamin C or something. I mean, it's just some bizarre thing. I can't remember what it was, but the FDA seems to be able to control a lot of these things and, you know, how they're being dispersed or who can sell supplements and who can do herbs and, you know, things like that, or what can be sold or what has to be put on the label. Do you have any comments to that and what's really happening and why?
Well, the FDA has been trying for years to regulate the dietary supplement market the same way that they do prescription drugs. Their concept apparently is that if you make a health claim, therefore it should fall under their domain. And yes, if an organic orange juice says that we have more vitamin C, which has been proven to be better for your health than regular orange juice, then that's a medical claim according to the FDA, and they should be able to license it, control it, you know, all these little details. Unfortunately, even though Congress keeps throwing amendments buried in bills and things like that to give the FDA this authority, the courts are going the other direction. There was just an amazing ruling from a federal judge not very long ago that there was a suit brought against the FDA by a dietary supplement manufacturer saying that you're inhibiting free trade, you're taking away my First Amendment rights to free speech, et cetera, et cetera. And the federal judge said, you know, you're absolutely right. The FDA does not have the authority to restrict legitimate, what they call state of science, health claims made by dietary manufacturer supplements, that it is protected by First Amendment rights. And the thing that's really interesting in the lawsuit and in the ruling is that the FDA, through this whole lawsuit, never said a word about why they thought keeping valid scientific information from Americans was in the best interest of the country or why it would help Americans make better health choices. They were absolutely mum on why they thought they deserved to have this control.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the battle between prescription drugs and dietary supplements continues, but apparently the supplement manufacturers have won one for a change.
Yes, they sure have, and I'm glad to hear that because I would hate to have my vitamin C as a prescription because, of course, I'm going to have to end up paying a lot more for it, too, than what I am right now.
Absolutely, and find it harder to get and have to get a doctor's appointment on top of that. So.
Right, just for vitamin C that's been around for a long time. So, yeah. Also, just for our listening audience to know that, for instance, I'm in Texas, and I can now talk about Texas, that massage therapists have to be licensed. Many other states in the United States do too, but many don't. But this not only goes for massage therapy, there are other licensures that are involved too. So let's just maybe discuss that for a few seconds here. And what is your opinion and what do you know about licensure?
Well, in some cases, it's a benefit. It helps elevate the position of the therapy. Ayurveda is, in fact, one where the National Ayurvedic Medical Association is working very hard to develop some standards for licensure, which, unfortunately, nobody in America really knows about it. You have to really be trained in India at this point. So they're trying to develop standards so that the states could license an Ayurvedic physician, that they would meet certain training and experience requirements. On the flip side, these licensing requirements are also used to inhibit competition and actually stimulate business. The massage schools have been very active pushing for licensing because they want to get more students in their massage schools.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't be a massage therapist without going to massage therapy school for however many weeks they get in the licensing, that kind of forces the issue. So it's also used to restrict the markets a little bit. The one thing that's always dangerous, there's always what they call unintended consequences on these bills. And in the case of massages here in Texas, I know, for example, the massage therapists were actually pushing for the state to enforce the current law on massage therapy to extend to many other types of therapies where there was absolutely minimal contact, but they wanted everything to fall under their control and domain. And a process that I'm very familiar with is Psyche, psychological kinesiology. And it's basically built on muscle testing or applied kinesiology, which is just where you put your arm out and somebody pushes on the end of it. And there's hundreds, literally, of different therapies of applied kinesiology. But this minimal contact with one hand on the shoulder and one hand on the wrist and putting 1 to 2 pounds of pressure on the wrist, the massage therapist said, well, you know, that's physical contact. Therefore, you need a massage license. And even the state of Texas said, you know what? That's really pushing the envelope. We don't think that's really the point. I mean, there's not really any muscle manipulation. Nothing's really going on here. We think you guys are kind of overstepping your bounds, so we're not going to enforce it. So it's one of those things where it can be a benefit in some cases. It can also be a huge detriment in other cases. And it's one of those things we really need to keep an eye on, or we will lose our rights. There's what they call a movement for health freedom, so that therapists of all these different categories can practice freely. New Mexico has one of the better laws, as does Minnesota, and it protects people, saying we have been duly trained by the people in our field, and we practice under buyer beware.
Mm-hmm.
We post our notice. We have a little sign that goes up on the wall saying, if you have a complaint, here's the state agency to call. But we don't need any licensing. We don't need any restrictions or approval from the state in order to give people this type of health care. So that's why there's a lot more states beginning to get on the bandwagon saying, before we lose these rights, we're trying to protect them so that we can take advantage of all these hundreds of different therapies.
Well, there certainly are hundreds, aren't they? And as consumers, we certainly have the choice. We have the choice of who to see and what modality we want to use. And which is really, you know, for somebody that uses CAM, I just feel really privileged to be able to do that, that I don't have to go to a mainstream medical doctor and be pumped full of drugs, that I can just take some herbs or I can take some a compound of some sort and still have a healthy body and not have to overstress my body to work against the chemicals that a lot of the mainstream medicine want to put in. But I'm really glad to hear more so that the integrated medicine is just becoming so popular. And I can see where that eventually, as some of those that don't believe in it, you know, leave, that this is going to be more and more into mainstream medicine.
Well, the medical community is reluctantly coming to the realization that they have to change because their customers are leaving.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm really glad with the big shift. I know it's a painful one in some cases, but it definitely is a good shift. So, Ellen, let's talk a little bit about your book. You know, it's a great book. I'm sitting here looking at it right now and flipping through it. And it's a book that for anybody that just is wanting to learn more about CAM, all the modalities are here, and you have a very concise, but very informative explanation of each. So why this book?
Well, basically because I've been where they are. Mm-hmm. I was up at Mayo Clinic a few years ago, and they said that there was nothing they could do for me. And when the doctor says, you know, you're going to have to learn to live with it, or there's nothing more we can do, it's a pretty scary place to be. I mean, you don't know where to go. Where do you start? You don't know where to even begin to find an option. And I really wanted a book to fit that need for people sitting in that chair in the doctor's office saying, okay, I've run out of options in mainstream medicine. Now where do I go? And I didn't want a big, thick dictionary with a lot of Latin terms and a lot of confusion. I wanted it USA Reader's Digest style. Mm-hmm. Give me the short, you know, overview. Give me some websites to help me find more information if I'm interested in that particular topic. Just get me started. And that was why I wrote the book originally, but I kind of focused on the what in the first edition. The second edition that just came out kind of added the how and the why. We added a new format based on a map, and it really helps people get a couple of basic concepts. First of all, that they have to find their own path in life. It's their responsibility to find better health. And with this map, they have some guideposts, they have some tips, they have a bigger perspective and view of all the options that are out there, and it helps them find their own path. But the other really big concept that some people have a hard time understanding is that they are a whole being, not only a body, but mind and spirit or energy as well. And the map kind of helped me do that because I said, okay, the body therapies are really kind of like the terrain features on a map. It's useful. It might be your solution, but then again, it might only be part of the equation. You might need some street names and some town names, man-made creations. I said, that's kind of like the mind therapies. I said, and even then, both of those might not be all of what you need. You still need a way to find your direction and know which way you're going. And I said, you know, on a map, we use this magical power called magnetism that makes a compass work and shows which direction to go. I said the energy and spirit therapies are kind of like that. It's a mysterious power that helps us find our direction. So if you use all of these things together, you can find where you are, where you need to go, and the best way to get there.
And I like your City of Hope. I'm just flipping to page 117, and there you have City of Hope.
There is always hope.
There is always hope. Ellen, would you be willing to disclose as to what therapies actually work for you and your digestive issues?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, the first book I found that got me on the path and really kind of opened my eyes to the whole world. You know, Irene, it's amazing. When you're told by the doctor that there's nothing more they can do and you're really suffering, it's incredible how open-minded you become and how quickly it happens. So it was literally 2 weeks after I got back from Mayo Clinic that I ran across Bruce Lipton's book, Biology of Belief, which is all about epigenetics, the new science that shows that the power of your own thoughts and feelings literally can change the functioning of your genes. And I said, man, that's great stuff. That's just the kind of information I needed. But, Bruce, you don't tell me the how. And he said, well, I'm a cellular biologist. That's not my department. So he pointed me to Rob Williams and a process called Psych-K. And I started getting involved with it. And not only did it begin to get my health back on track again, but I just saw it was such a useful and practical process. I actually started practicing up here for a while. And the first book was written partly to help people understand all these therapies. And I said, you know, I can actually reach more people and do more good with the book than I can treating one patient at a time with Psych-K. So kind of shifted gears and focused into the book itself. But Psych-K was really the one that helped me understand how the mind and body and spirit all work together, and that it may be a physical problem, but it may have sources someplace else that you need to take care of.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because I'm looking at the contents, and in your contents you have all the body processes. And, gosh, when I look through those, I've probably experienced 90% of them myself and at some point or another. But what's interesting also is what I, you know, finally came to what works for me, and that is chiropractic, massage, colonics, and meditation. And that's the maintenance level for me. And I think that there is a point where we can actually do try different things for working for us. And, of course, I take herbs and, you know, supplements, too, and that's just sort of almost a given that I had forgotten about because it's just part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But what I encourage listeners is to actually look at your book and, you know, take a look and just see what each one does and how they fit in and try different modalities because we're all so different, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And unfortunately, after the discovery of penicillin, we kind of got into that pill-popping mentality of give me a fast answer.
Right.
I don't want responsibility for my health. I want somebody else to say, take this pill, you'll be fine. And this having to go back and take responsibility for ourselves and our own lives, that's, Irene, that's work. I mean, what fun is that?
Yeah.
But that's the only way to really get the health that we deserve.
Exactly. I so agree. And so I encourage listeners to, as I say, take a look at this book. It's called How to Unbreak Your Health. And I suggest the second edition because it is modified and gives a little bit more information than the first one did. And really look deep inside within yourself and see if some of these alternative methods actually are conducive to what you are wanting to achieve and try them. And I know that you also have websites and you've got a lot of information of how people can find a practitioner and ask around, ask for referrals. This alternative medicine is really a way to go, and I just can't stress it enough. But it's also an integrative medicine, as you had mentioned earlier. So again, listeners, the book by Alan Smith is How to Unbreak Your Health, second edition. And the subtitle is Your Map to the World of Complementary and Alternative Therapies. Alan, thank you so much. Would you just give our listening audience your website address so they can check you out and check out the book a little further?
Irene, I would be delighted. It's www.unbreakyourhealth.com.
It's the same as the book name, unbreakyourhealth.com. And Alan, just sort of as a closing, do you have any words of wisdom to our listeners?
There is always hope. Even when the doctor says there's nothing more they can do or that you're just going to have to learn to live with your health problem, there is hope to unbreak your health and find health that you can't even dream is possible at this point in your life.
Well, and you're certainly a walking testimony of that, aren't you?
Absolutely.
And I so agree. And thank you again, Alan, and thanks, listeners, for tuning in and listening. And do again, as I can't stress this enough, do check out Alan Smith's book, How to Unbreak Your Health, and take responsibility for your own health. Thanks for listening to Inside Scoop Live. This is Irene Watson. Bye for now.